morning church. It says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning his shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Today I want to talk to you about the three crosses. One man died in his sins. One man died with his sins forgiven. And one man died for the sins of the world. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you to ask that you may open up our minds and our hearts to receive your message for today. Give us new eyes to see, new ears to hear, in a clean heart to feel your love as demonstrated in the most immense sacrifice that you could have done for us. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. To Jesus, in his agony on the cross, there came a gleam of hope. It was the prayer of the penitent thief. Both men who were crucified next to Jesus had at first hurled insults on him. One, in his agony, only became more desperate and defiant, but not so with the other. You see, this man was not a hardened criminal. He was led astray by the wrong influences. This man that was being crucified next to Jesus has seen and heard Jesus preach about God's love, his mercy, his forgiveness. But then he was turned away by the priests and the rulers of the church who made him feel unworthy to come to God, seeking to stifle his convictions. He plunged deeper and deeper into sin until he was arrested, tried as a criminal, and condemned to die on the cross. When he was condemned, he felt hopeless and helpless. But just then, he remembers everything that he heard about Jesus, how Jesus healed the sick, how he pardoned sin, how he had compassion on those that felt unworthy. In Jesus, hanging upon the cross, bruised and mocked, he sees the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Hope is revived in him as he cries out, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Then comes a response full of love and compassion. I tell you the truth today, you will be with me in paradise. I want to read to you in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You see, Jesus is saying, it doesn't matter how bad you've been, how much you sin. Come now and let us reason together. Because I want to cleanse you from all your sins. Because I want to wash you and make you as white as snow, as if you've never, ever sinned. So come now and let us reason together. This man accepted Jesus' forgiveness while he was hanging upon the cross. I want to talk about unforgiven. The reason why some people can't accept God's forgiveness is because they can't forgive others or themselves. They have become so bitter with life that they've hardened their hearts. All the injustices. It's like the parable of the seed that fell along the path. The ground is so hard that the seed cannot sprout due to the masses of people that have walked all over. So it is with the heart that's been hardened. People that have betrayed you. People that have walked all over you. All the injustices. But there's only one thing we can do. And that is to let go and let God. Give it over to Him. But some people don't do that. They just cling to it. They cling to unforgiveness. And they remain a victim the rest of their lives. Do you know what unforgiveness is? It's like a cancer that destroys spiritually, mentally, emotionally. But Jesus came to heal us from that cancer. And that's what he wanted to do. Unfortunately, that man did not accept that healing. He cried out defiantly, "If you are the Christ, if you are the Christ, save yourself and save us." It's like someone shaking their fist towards heaven and says, "God, if you're really up there, get me out of this mess." They want God to change their circumstances, but they don't want God to change their hearts. And that's what God wants to do. To forgive, to cleanse, to heal. Unfortunately, that man did not accept that forgiveness. And he died. I want to talk about forgiveness. Before he ever took humanity upon himself, Jesus saw the whole length of the path he must travel in order to save that which was lost. Every insult that was heaped upon him, all the pain he was called to endure, was open to his view before he laid aside his crown and glory and stepped down from his heavenly throne to clothe his divinity with humanity. The path from the manger to Calvary was open before his eyes. He knew the anguish that would come upon him, yet for the joy that was set before him, he chose to endure the cross. The cross was associated with the power of Rome. It was the death for the worst criminals. And sometimes the lowest criminals were required to bear the cross to the place of execution. And they would struggle And they would fight with desperate violence. But when the soldiers will overpower them, they will make them take the cross, carry the cross upon their shoulders to the place of execution. But Hebrews 12:2 says that for the joy that was set before him, Jesus chose to endure the cross. You see, Jesus did not count heaven as a place to be desired while we were all lost in sin. He left the heavenly courts to come and live a life of insult and reproach and die a death of shame. Why? For the joy that was set before him, he chose to endure the cross. I want to read 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is what's called the mystery of godliness, that one equal with the Father should clothe his divinity with humanity in laying aside all the glory of commander in heaven, descend step by step in the path of humiliation, enduring severe and still some more severe abasement. Philippians 2, 6 through 8 says, who being in the very form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You see, Jesus left the courts of heaven, where he was praised and adored by the angels. And instead, he came here to hear the cry, crucify him, crucify him, from the very people he came to save. Instead of wearing a crown of glory, they shoved a crown of thorns upon his head. Instead of sitting upon his throne in heaven, he hung upon a cross. Why? For the joy that was set before him, he chose to endure the cross. I want to read Matthew chapter 27, verses 20 to 26. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. Which of the two do you want me to release to you? Asked the governor. Barabbas, they answered. What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called the Messiah? Pilate asked. They all answered, crucify him. But why? What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, crucify him. When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. I am innocent of this man's blood, he said. It is your responsibility. All the people answered, his blood be on us and on our children. Then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. We're all familiar with these verses in Isaiah 53, verses 3 to 5. It says, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. He took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. When the Romans had a prisoner flogged, they used whips that had spikes or hooks at the end. And when they would whip a soldier, it would tear off the skin from their backs. After Jesus was flogged, they took him to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. And there they crucified him between two criminals. Now, while they were crucifying him, Jesus prayed. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. While he was being crucified, Jesus prayed for them. While 6-inch rusty nails were being driven through his hands and feet, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That prayer was not just for them, but for every person that has ever lived. Whenever I sin, Jesus prays for me. He says, Father, forgive him because he knows not what he does. He doesn't understand the dreadfulness of sin. He doesn't understand that I came to heal him from the disease of sin. Look at me, Father, by my stripes, he is healed. That's what Jesus does. After he was crucified, the soldiers lifted up the cross. And they drove it down to the ground. And this caused the most intense pain for Jesus. The weight of his body caused the flesh to tear from where they drove the nails. As Jesus was hanging on the cross, darkness came over the land. What was interesting was that it was only 12 noon. It was like a phenomenon. Nature was in chaos. Jesus knew something wasn't right because he could no longer feel the presence of the Father. He felt rejected and condemned, forsaken, alone. Psalm 69 says, reproach has broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. I look for someone to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. Matthew 27. 45 to 46 says, at noon there was darkness all over the land until 3 o'clock. About 3 o'clock, Jesus shouted with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? All through the Gospels, Jesus always referred to God the Father as my Father or Abba Father. But now, he addresses him as God. Why? When Jesus took the sins of the world upon himself, he experienced the ultimate consequence of sin, which is eternal separation from God. The Bible describes hell as the eternal separation from God. That means that Jesus Christ experienced hell so that you and I won't have to. As Jesus hung up on the cross, he had to lift himself up so he can take deep breaths. You see, it was hard to breathe while you were hanging on the cross. So he had to take several shallow breaths, then lift himself so he can take a deep breath. While he said, Father, it is finished. Into your hands I commend my spirit. And then he died. The Jews did not want the bodies hanging upon the cross, left hanging. So they asked Pilate to break the legs of the criminals so they would suffocate and die. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead. So one of the soldiers took a spear and drove it to his side, bringing about a flow of blood and water. But here's the thing. Jesus Christ did not die because they drove 6-inch rusty nails to his hands and feet. He didn't die because they drove a spear to his side. Jesus Christ died of a broken heart. He died because he loves you and me. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. 2,000 years ago, there were 3 crosses. One received forgiveness, the other rejected forgiveness. The third cross today offers forgiveness. If Jesus had to do it all over again, he would do it for you. He would never, ever forget you. And I want to read a special verse. In Isaiah chapter 49, Jesus makes a very interesting question. He asks, would a mother ever forget the nursing child that she bore. Though she may forget, I would never forget you. Because you see, I have inscribed you in the palms of my hands. I have inscribed you in the palms of my hands. He has inscribed me in the palms of his hands. Centuries before he was born on this earth, Jesus prophesied about his death on the cross. He knew exactly what he was going to go through, and he chose to do it for you. And he will always bear the mark of the crucifixion throughout all eternity for you. Why? For the joy that was set before him, he chose to endure the cross. You are his joy. You are his joy. You are his joy. When I ask the praying to come up for our closing song. As you sing this song, I want to invite you to come forward. You want to express your love and gratitude for what Jesus did for you. I'm going to ask you to come forward so we can pray together.